Have you enjoyed listening to the CrowdPaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some CrowdPaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to CrowdPaw.org/merch, CrowdPaw.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your CrowdPaw look.
And those are two of the things you absolutely need as a leader, is communication skills and visibility. By practicing sharing your voice and putting the content out there, you're going to be so far ahead. You cannot be passive if you are in a situation that you don't fully enjoy. You want to earn more money or you want to do something different, then you just have to find out what that thing is. Explore, get exposed to new things. Go to those conferences, go to those events. Even if you're nervous, you just have to do it. Plant those seeds in yourself early on, and again, you'll be a superstar. Turn this up,
turn this up. Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Ferrandi, aka CrowdPaw, and welcome to CrowdPaw Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, thank you for listening to the show, but I want to make sure you also know that you can watch it on YouTube. So bonus points for doing both, but you can listen or watch it. Regardless, I really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Kristen Noel on the show. She's founder and CEO of KN Digital Marketing. She helps speakers, consultants, and experts land high-value corporate contracts and speaking opportunities to multiply their income and influence. So not just a snapshot of you, Kristen, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
Thank you so much, Paul. I am so happy to be here and excited for our conversation today. But yes, so I'm Kristen, as you mentioned, and I do have a digital marketing agency, and I actually help leaders and experts not only with how they are marketing and talking about themselves online, but also in how they are selling their services and selling their thought leadership. So my goal, honestly, is to help people build out their impact, deepen their impact, be able to scale their income and earn, you know, the revenue that we deserve, and to really ultimately be able to create freedom in our lives. Freedom is such a hugely important thing and concept to me. And that's honestly one of the primary reasons that I started freelancing and started my business so many years ago now, because I wanted to be free to express myself. I wanted to be free to work with who I wanted, where I wanted, and in the ways that I wanted, things that really brought me joy and that I was passionate about. And I want to bring that same opportunity to other people to get their ideas out there, their creativity, their expertise out there in a way that they don't have to compromise who they are, or they don't have to continue to just mold to, you know, an expectation of an employer. So really being able to take our future into our own hands and to be able to command higher premium rates and opportunities. And that's what led me to do what I'm doing now.
That's a really incredible mission. And this whole idea of freedom, being your own boss, also like unlocking potential, it seems like. It's like untapped potential that you're working with these entrepreneurs and leaders on. So talk me through how you got to doing this. It sounds like you've been doing this for a while, but what made you want to start doing this?
Yeah. So actually, this particular thing that I'm doing in terms of helping people land corporate contracts and land speaking opportunities, it's newer, but it's something that I have been developing over the last 3 years and pivoting my business actually pretty recently. So before in my business, I was offering your typical digital marketing services. So I've done things from website design to social content creation to like writing emails and doing email marketing for my clients, as well as doing launches for coaches and things. And these are all services that, you know, we still offer, but I was noticing that my clients were elevating and I was elevating, and we were looking for more than just a website, for example. And like, just because you invest, and you might invest a lot of money into a website, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the right clients are automatically going to find you. And I was also working with some small business owners who I love, but they didn't always have the budget to be able to provide the services that I wanted to provide. Like, I wanted to do all the things, like, let's set up some sales funnels, some email campaigns, make sure your social content is on point. I want to do video. There's so many things that I love to do when it comes to serving and helping people get their message in front of the right people. But honestly, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot. And you have to charge, you know, high rates for all these services. And unfortunately, a lot of the small business owners I was working with didn't have the exact budget to match the services that I wanted to provide. So I realized I need to go after some bigger companies, bigger budget opportunities. And honestly, my clients wanted the same thing. I started working with speakers and experts and things like physicians, doctors, and lawyers, and people in the financial services space. And they too kind of wanted similar things, like, how do we work with larger clients? Or once I'm working with consultants, they want to start working with larger organizations, larger teams. They want to figure out, how can I speak to executive decision makers? And then even people who have 9-to-5s who aren't necessarily entrepreneurs, they still want to build out some other side aspect outside of their 9-to-5s. And oftentimes speaking can be such a great additional income source outside of that 9-to-5. And then when you have leadership, you know, if you are on the C-suite, it's a great opportunity for you to put yourself out there and brand yourself as a leader and, you know, command your own speaking opportunities that you get outside of your corporate role. So that is what led me here, because really, I think that it's one of the best ways to get paid. And it's one of the best ways to use your voice is by sharing all of that experience that you have, that knowledge that you've built up, the expertise. A lot of times we're just sitting on just a gold mine of information. And if you're not necessarily in the know of how to leverage your experience, you don't know that you can come sometimes go out here and get paid $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 and more for these speaking opportunities. And sometimes you can consult with companies and they can pay you $10,000 a month on a retainer. Or if you have a course, these companies can license your course, and that can easily be a $50,000 contract just for them to license the course that you've already created. So now that my eyes have been open over the past few years to these opportunities, it's like, how can we emerge into that space if we're not necessarily, you know, if we don't have that in our immediate network, and if that is not what we're immediately exposed to, how do we break into that? And that is what I'm here to do, both for myself and for my clients. It's like getting these high paid speaking opportunities, getting these opportunities to consult with companies who can afford premium rates, doing the leadership and executive coaching and high touch services. So that is how I ended up here.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And how you even, it seems like it was just out of necessity that it came out. Mm-hmm. So my question, I guess my initial question is, do you work more with people who are wanting to do it on the side, or more so people who are trying to scale up, or is it more 50-50?
Yeah, it's actually both right now. So the few clients that I'm working with now are, it's one of the things they do in their business. So they're not just speakers, but they are entrepreneurs. And actually one of them is a doctor, and she still has her full-time medical director role, but she is also a health and wellness speaker on the side, and a health and wellness coach, performance coach, and an author. So it's something that she's doing on the side of her 9-to-5, but looking to make it her full-time. And then a couple of the other people that I am speaking with are, some of them are full-time entrepreneurs, and some of them are 9-to-5ers who are looking to do this outside of their, or, you know, on the side of their job.
Nice. So I guess I'm just thinking about my audience, and it's a lot more younger professionals, mm-hmm. some people in STEM, so they have kind of expertise on the technical side. May not have as much speaking experience, but I guess how do they even start? Like, what is the first thing that they should be doing if they're thinking about, hey, one day I want to do this?
Yeah, great question. And I think budding tech and STEM professionals should definitely keep this on their radar. And you might not necessarily feel like you have enough experience yet to go out there and speak at a conference. However, what you can do to get started is start just sharing your work, sharing some of the wins that you're able to achieve. And you can start on LinkedIn. Obviously, LinkedIn is a great place to share your professional achievements and just let people in on the journey with you. There's so much too that even more experienced leaders can learn from the new up and coming crowd. And it's not just a one-way street in terms of we're learning from mentors. If you do have a mentor, guess what? Your mentor is learning just as much from you as you are learning from them. At least that's how it should be. And so I don't want you to discount your experiences, what you're doing in your workplace, what you're learning, what you're testing out and trying, and how you are emerging into your field. So start just sharing content about what's happening in your company, what you're doing, what excites you. Obviously, you know, not the private stuff that you guys are working on, but yeah. We can definitely talk about your journey and talk about, you know, the things that are available to share publicly, and just start making that name for yourself online. And you're definitely going to stand out. And if you stay consistent, people are going to start reaching out like, hey, I noticed that you are a UX researcher and we would love to have you speak at our conference, our UX conference next year or this year. So start there and practice communicating. Just practice speaking up at work and building those relationships with your bosses and with the senior leaders in your company. And that's going to definitely put you in the best position to be able to take advantage of opportunities as you grow in your career. And I just can't emphasize enough how much of a game-changing path it is to think about adding speaking and thought leadership to your skill set as you develop in your career. And that starts with, again, just start now with sharing your thoughts online and on LinkedIn and YouTube.
Yeah, that I really like that advice. I think especially with LinkedIn more than any other social platform, I can't remember the stats, that it's just a small percentage of people that actually post. Most people just scroll or like, or some people don't even like, they'll just scroll and scroll. They don't engage, they don't do anything. And I think that's often the thing that people like, they don't know what to post. And I think what you said, just sharing about your achievements, what you're doing, at least that you can publicly share. Life. Yeah, I was having a conversation with someone the other day that she said she was trying to get more involved with posting and kind of like was in her head about what to post. And kind of gave her the same advice, just like just post about different things that are going on they can share. Or you can even post about not knowing what to post. I've seen that a couple times.
I know. And so many times it can be people overthink it, what to post. And yeah, honestly, if you don't overthink it, but just talk about what you're learning, what is exciting, what are you tasked with, what are some of your responsibilities and some of your wins, and like, who are your coworkers that you're meeting? Like, tell stories about your coworkers, tell stories about the projects that your company works on, tell stories about how you even got into the field and what, you know, what kind of things that you did, you know, to even get this job. You know, so yeah, just don't overthink it. Just start telling stories, start talking about yourself, and then it'll come much easier.
Yeah, practice makes perfect, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, especially with communication, because it's a key leadership aspect. I mean, it's key in anything that you do is communication. I think especially as a leader, being effective with your communication and really understanding how to get your point across, whether it's through LinkedIn or even mention YouTube, which that's even another level, because I'm sure you've talked or worked with people that don't like the sound of their own voice.
Yes.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's something you eventually you get used to it or better at it. But it's, I guess one thing that helps me is that realizing that this is how everyone else is already hearing me. So it's better off that I know what I sound like as opposed to just living in my own bubble.
Exactly. And our voice is powerful no matter what. I've definitely had those same kind of insecurities at times where it's like, I look awkward on camera or I don't like how my voice sounds, but you still got to use it. And yeah, you get more comfortable the more you practice, the more you practice showing up and watching yourself back and kind of practicing. But it's such an invaluable skill set to communicate and share that. Like, I cannot tell you enough how important it is, because then when you do want to grow in your career or start a business or become a leader, you just have so much more practice communicating and you have more visibility. And those are two of the things you absolutely need as a leader, is communication skills and visibility. So by practicing sharing your voice and putting the content out there, you're going to be so far ahead.
Yeah, visibility is a big one, because like even when coaching people or talk to them about like how to get through their career and different things, is that maybe, I don't know if it's just more prevalent in STEM, you can let me know, like with other people, that sometimes people just think like, oh, if I work really hard and do a really good job, that that's all I have to do. Like, why aren't people noticing me? And I'm like, you have to be able to effectively communicate what you're doing, because you can do all this stuff and no one knows about it, then it, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, honestly, the STEM folks are some of the main culprits. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really like targeting a lot of STEM, you know, clients in terms of the industry that I want to work with, because they are often the ones that really just love the work, the technical, the nerdy side. They don't necessarily like the talking to people. Oh, like I have to actually talk to people. I have to actually record content and write and stuff like that. And figuring out how to communicate some of that really technical, challenging stuff that you do is also part of the job, but it's something that they don't always tell you. But it is, it does come with it. And if you want to be a leader and if you want to open up more opportunities for yourself, you definitely have to learn to sometimes hop out of that, you know, that bubble that you're in, and really make those complex things that you're doing, make them understandable, digestible. So again, the more you practice talking about what you do and saying it in layman's terms without all that jargon, you're going to be a superstar.
Yeah. Absolutely. To get to superstar status in STEM, you have to be able to communicate in a way that everyone can understand.
Exactly.
No, that's really good. So I'm curious, because I know you say you've been doing this the last few years, I guess. Have you always done stuff in digital marketing, or kind of walk me through your story? Mm-hmm. Is this something you've always been passionate about?
Yeah.
Been more focused on in the last few years? So yeah, just walk me through.
Yeah, so I've been passionate about business and marketing since I literally can remember. Since elementary school, I wanted to start businesses and be creative. I just didn't know what I would do. I just always pictured myself as a businesswoman. And then when I went to college, I studied marketing. I also studied operations management, but we're not going to talk about that because I ended up dropping that. So I went with marketing and I was in the business school at University of Maryland. But I got exposed to some business opportunities in study abroad. So I had short-term study abroad trips to Italy and Thailand in college, undergrad. And that really opened my eyes, because they were both like business courses that we did, both in Italy and Thailand. And we got to visit various companies and organizations and understand how they did business at both the local level and the international global level. And I just got to see, because outside of that, I never really got to see and understand like what happens out there in the world after we graduate. How do I know what career path to choose? How do I know, you know, what internships to go for? And so I was a little bit lost in that sense. networks. I didn't really focus a lot on networking in college like I should have. And I was just kind of like, what do I do with this marketing degree? But I didn't know that because I had seen all of those different businesses, I wanted to do something in that global business landscape. And so I ended up getting a job in the government. So I'm just outside of DC in Maryland, and I got a job at the Office of Personnel Management in downtown DC, but it was so boring. It was so dry. However, in the DMV, that growing up was like the pinnacle of success. You get a nice government job and you just sail off into the sunset.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipaul.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
And that is how so many people in our area, so many Black people, have been able to live like comfortable lives and purchase homes and send their kids to private schools and retire. And I think that is that stability has been wonderful for our people here outside of DC. But for me, that dream was just like soul sucking. I had a government job, but I did not enjoy it. I'm not the type of person that can be bored with what I'm doing or otherwise. I just want to I was like going to this job, this gray office every day. But I was like looking up this travel blog that I liked. It was this girl named Alex in Wonderland, and I always read her travel blog at work. I could not wait for her to post because she was only like a couple years older than me, and she was traveling the world. She was going on adventures. She was blogging about it, and she had started an online business, and I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. So I would come to my little office job and get on the computer, pull up her blog, and I would be transported into another world. But she really gave me the confidence to see, hey, you could try this living abroad thing out. And so long story short, like I moved to California after I graduated. A few months after I graduated undergrad, I moved to LA, and then I moved to Thailand 2 years after that. And in that journey, what brought me to Thailand was it really started with that seed of reading this girl's blog. And then I started listening to podcasts, and I heard all these people talk about you can move abroad. You can be a digital nomad. Thailand is so cheap. Start an online business. And I had already dabbled with online business by then because I had a store, like an online shop with my mom. And so I was like, well, I already run an online shop. I build websites. I was starting to build websites for people. And I was like, I could just take this show on the road. And that's what I did. So I did the whole digital nomad thing where I quit my job and I took the little bit of money that I had and the little skill sets that I had and said, I'm going to start an online business. I'll freelance. I'll build websites. And I'm going to move to Thailand. And that was back in 2015 that I made that move. So going on a whole decade ago. So that's when I really started putting my services out there. And life abroad was just so eye-opening for me because I got to both experience that freedom that I'm talking about of like, wake up and like go to the waterfall on a Tuesday. I wasn't answering to anybody.
Tuesday.
And it felt amazing to me, but I also had to figure out this whole entrepreneurship thing. And so then eventually after kind of that stint of doing that, I got a job in Malaysia and I was working for this really dope company. At the time I thought it was really dope. And I'm not even going to name them because they ended up not being so dope after about.
Oh, no.
Okay. I got so much experience. I learned so much about tech, digital marketing, sales, branding, just so many things. So I will say that experience. It was definitely one of the most interesting and best career experiences of my life. But when it was time to go, it was time to go. But that's a little bit just about my background and why I really got into the whole idea of freedom and being able to travel, being able to go where you want, when you want. But also I was really passionate about having a hard skill set. And and that's what I really, really learned at that job that I had in Malaysia is we work with apps, we work with courses, we work with like web, we did webinars and learning design, instructional design and advertising, video production. So I just got to get exposed to so many different, you know, little elements of the business. And that allowed me to go on and really just grow my own business with that knowledge that I had.
Wow. And that was in Malaysia, you said?
Yes, that was in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, KL.
Okay, cool. I've never been there. Mm-hmm. My dad has been there a couple times for different things. He said he really loved it. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's an incredible story. So from Maryland, DMV area, to California, to where
Thailand.
You went? Thailand. Yes. Yeah, I can't forget Thailand. And then Malaysia.
Yes. After Thailand, I actually moved to Florida for a little bit because my parents were in Florida, and then to Malaysia. Then I moved back to the States, back to Maryland.
Back to Maryland. Yep. Wow. So where has been your favorite place you live so far, if you have one?
Honestly, home is always going to be where my heart is, but I loved living in Thailand. I absolutely adored it. And I enjoy living in LA too. I really like LA.
Okay, awesome. Good to know.
Thailand was amazing. You should go.
That's amazing. I guess because I have heard that a few different times with like digital nomads, and that Thailand is cheap, is cheap to live in. I guess what, like, for those of us who haven't been to Thailand, me included, what are some highlights or things you really enjoyed about living there?
Yes. So I really do love the affordability. Obviously, we're American, so we're privileged in that way. You can go out there. My first apartment that I leased out there was literally $500. It was about $500 a month, and it was a luxury one bedroom. There was a pool there. There was a gym there that I did not use at the time. But it was like, yes, it was a luxurious apartment for only $500. And it was in one of the, you know, the trendy areas of town. So I had my scooter, and I just went and leased this apartment, made some friends out there. And it wasn't like overnight. It wasn't just like I flew out there and hit the ground running. I flew out there and didn't even know what I was doing. I was nervous. I was scared. I was like, wait, what did I just do? I just moved to Thailand. I just bought this one way. And so it definitely took me a while to get settled in and to start making friends and coming out of my shell and just start getting comfortable in my routine out there. But once I got into a groove, it was just exploration. You meet people from all over the world. You are working on, you know, some people have remote jobs. Some people were English teachers. Some people were just on a sabbatical from work for 3 to 6 months. And then others were like me, who were freelancing online or building some type of online business. And I was exposed to so many things. Like, I didn't even know people could do that. Like, one guy I met was making six figures from teaching people how to MC weddings online. Just random. Yes. He was a wedding MC coach, and he had his own wedding MC coaching business and was making six figures and just traveling the world. And he would pop on Zoom and teach classes and coach people how to be a wedding MC. And I was just like, that was so freaking random, but it was just, the world was open because I met this couple who were both therapists, and then they just took their practice online. And this was way before the pandemic. So before the whole like real big boom of remote working, there were still so many people doing online-based businesses and traveling the world. And there were also remote people back then too, people who, you know, had their US-based jobs, but they were working remote and they just decided to travel the world for some time. So that was really cool.
Wow. A wedding MC coach. I can't get
it. I know, me too. That's why it has stuck with me all these years later, because I couldn't even tell you that guy's name. I just remember that's what he did. And I was just shocked. Like, you have got to be kidding me. How? What?
Wow.
Yeah, you'd be surprised by the things that people can do, the things that people can sell. So the possibilities are endless out here. That's why I'm like, I don't ever want to be doing something that I don't enjoy, because there's literally so many possibilities.
Yeah. And like you said, it sounds like just being there and just unlocked your world to the many different possibilities. I think it's really easy to get caught up in what we see every day, especially in the United States. Yeah. Like, I mean, like you said, after COVID or during COVID, remote work definitely opened up and then there's more opportunities. But I think prior to that, there definitely were people that maybe were doing remote work as wedding MC coaches. We didn't know about it, or all this online stuff kind of exploded. But the fact that you're doing that even prior to COVID, mm-hmm. and that unlocked everything, that's incredible.
It really opened my mind. And that is why it was really hard for me when I came back to the States. It was hard for me to re-enter the normal world, because I had spent a few years living abroad. And I was able to just be more free. I didn't need as much money, because I wasn't earning that much money out there. But you could really be living good in Thailand. Like, if you were earning $1,000 a month, like, you could live on top of the world. And that's the USD. Wow. And then in Malaysia, my job, it was actually an American-facing company, but they paid us in Malaysian currency, which does not translate well. Like, we got decent salaries for there, but I wasn't able to like save and start my retirement fund out there and come back. So when I came back to America, I was pretty much starting from scratch, to be honest. Like, didn't have the savings, and it was hard for me to figure out how do I talk about my experiences in a way that like companies and hiring managers will understand. Because I just spent the last 3 years kind of working at this company in Malaysia, and then I was freelancing and I had my own business in Thailand. How the hell do you talk about this in a way that can get you a good job? And it took me a while. I was really trying to find myself again after that experience. Like, who am I without being that girl who lives abroad? How can I talk about my work experience, its history, in a way that positions me for the kind of job that I want? And it was a rough time for other personal and family reasons too. So it was just an all around rough time kind of coming back to America after that and trying to find a job that I moved back to the DMV and it's expensive here. So yeah. I couldn't just go from, you know, I couldn't no longer survive off $1,000 a month. And so, I really had to take that time to find myself and to take my time searching for a job. I did all types of side hustles in the meantime. Like, I did DoorDash deliveries and Shipt delivery, and I was a substitute teacher for a while, which I really enjoyed that, by the way. But then I finally landed a really nice job in tech. I was a technical project manager for an education tech company. And from there, like, my life just started getting better in terms of just like my career unfolding, finances and everything. And I started to refigure myself out again. But that journey, it definitely took a while. I think it took like maybe 7 months for me to even find a full-time job after coming back to the US. So that was tough. But once I did, I started, you know, just redefining myself again.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole process of finding yourself, and the fact that, it feels like a whole transition from you're in the U.S., you go abroad to Thailand and Malaysia, your world is unlocked, living luxury for $1,000 a month, and then you come back and then realization you have to make more money, and then figuring out what you really want to do. I can only imagine. I'm sure there's people listening right now that maybe they're either in between jobs or in a job that they don't really love.
Yeah.
But they're not sure how to do what they want to do. I guess from your perspective, is there any advice or things you would say to them, like either on either end, people are trying to find themselves or they know they're doing something that they don't want to be doing?
Oh my gosh, yes. I love this question because A, I can relate, and I know that there's so many people who are experiencing this. And the best advice that I can give you is to, number one, be active. Do not be passive. Don't just wait for something to happen and a magic promotion or a magic job offer to land in your lap. You really have to be active and take that ownership of your life and your career and get out there and learn and just like search, just pull up a search on LinkedIn and start finding out about what people do. Scroll to different companies. If you have a dream company that you think you would love to work for, go to that company profile, go look at the employees, the leadership roles, or if you're not quite at the leadership level yet, just look for these different roles and career paths in those companies and start to connect with people and do informational interviews. I highly recommend too, just going to conferences. So whatever industry or whatever passion you have, go to those conferences and start asking around, like start meeting people. And again, going back to especially my STEM folks, because we can definitely be in our own little bubble, in our own little world, but you really have to put yourself out there and meet people. Another thing too is like, you have to learn the skill set. So oftentimes you are getting more education, you're getting certifications, but that is only one piece of the puzzle. You have to build the relationships. So that's just as important, and if not more important sometimes than the technical skill set sometimes. But no, the technical skill set is super important. You got to be really good at what you do. But you also have to be strategic about how you are looking to advance or pivot. So a lot of times it comes with talking to people, meeting people, and doing that research, and really just grinding it out. And it's funny that I say grinding it out because I'm definitely kind of anti-hustle a little bit, but the truth of the matter is you do have to grind and hustle sometimes. Hustle and grind. But also rest. I'm a big proponent of resting. Took my nap earlier, even though I got a lot of work to do. But I say that to say, like, just you cannot be passive. If you are in a situation that you don't fully enjoy, you want to earn more money or you want to do something different, then you just have to find out what that thing is, and you have to be relentless about it. Find out what it is, explore, get exposed to new things, go to those conferences, go to those events. Even if you're nervous, you just have to do it.
Yeah, you have to do it. Be relentless, be active. Like, I always talk about being intentional, because you can't just let, like you were basically saying, you can't just let life just happen to you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy how the more that you are intentional and the more that you do like put yourself out there and stuff, you start to realize how many people aren't and how many people are just going through the motions or just kind of landing where they land. And there's no real intention behind it. You just happen to get this job, or you just happen to end up in this company. You just happen to end up in this career path, but is it what you really choose for yourself? Is this what you really envision for yourself? Is this an intentional choice, how you're living your life and how, what is that end goal, you know, that you're seeking? And so many people aren't that intentional about it. So you don't want to end up at the very late stage of your career just to realize that you didn't even really want to be here, or this is not even making you happy. So plant those seeds in yourself early on. And again, you'll be a superstar.
something like that. Plant the seeds early on and go be a superstar. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important that you mentioned that. And even just to be intentional, one thing I want to call out is that just because you're being intentional doesn't mean that you always know like what you're going to be in 20 years or even 10 years out in the road. But at least be intentional with your next step at the very least.
Yeah, that's so important. You don't have to have the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. Because even when you think you have it figured out, new things happen. So being intentional about figuring it out, you know, you don't have to have those answers. But if you are intentional about figuring out those answers, you're going to end up on the right path.
Definitely. And then you are so right when you say that most people don't know what they just kind of like wander through life. And then you're like 20, 30 years down the road and you're like, I actually didn't want to be in this role. I feel like I've heard that a few different times where people say, like, oh, I was only going to be here for a year. And then they tell me they've been here 20 years. It's like, wait, what? Where are the 19 years? Like, the math isn't math.
You blink and then life passes you by. So we really have to be intentional about how we spend our time. The years are going to pass anyway, so we might as well spend them doing what we want to do or figuring out what it is that we even want to do.
That's a bar right there. The years are going to pass anyway. Might as well do what you want to do.
That's another one of those lines that I've heard years ago and it stuck with me. It stuck with me because people sometimes they feel like, well, if I switch career fields or if I pivot, I'm going to have to relearn. This might take me 4 years to learn, but it's just like, okay, the 4 years are going to pass anyway. So you can either spend those 4 years feeling stuck and not taking action, or you can spend those 4 years figuring out how to pivot into the thing you really want to do.
Absolutely. So I really like that. It makes me, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about bringing up makes me think of the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And I don't remember if it's, I think it's a second habit about beginning with the end in mind. And like I just said, maybe you don't know what your true end state is, but like where you want to end up as far as like all the information you have today, because I'm sure like with your story, you mentioned it in my story, like where I thought I wanted to end up is not where I am now, but it was because I came across different things and I was like, oh, I want to pursue this. Because from when I was like 5 years old up until I was 18, I thought I was going to be a doctor.
Oh, wow.
And And then I got into college, fell in love with research, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a researcher, do a lot of the stuff in biomedical engineering, and then got exposed to different industries, and then started working in food, and now I kind of like, I do stuff within R&D process engineering, along with all the other stuff I do, with podcasting and speaking and coaching, so.
That's so cool. Yeah, so... You know, you just follow your path. You might have your mindset on something, but then you find out that you're more fit for a whole another path. But like you can still do multiple things and explore multiple interests. So I think that's so cool. Yeah, I saw that you also have your nonprofit too, right?
Yeah, I have a nonprofit. I stay busy. I guess sometimes people ask, like, how do you do all that stuff? I was like, because I don't do it by myself, especially not with the nonprofit. Like, I have a team. The stuff with Incredipaw is mostly by myself, but I have a couple people that help me with things. But I think it's a quote from John Maxwell. It's like, there's no one that really achieves greatness by themselves. Right. Like, one is too small a number to achieve greatness.
Mm-hmm. Right. So exactly.
A tribe, a team around you, they'll try and do things by yourself.
Yeah, but it's just like you really demonstrate how you can explore multiple things, multiple fields, and like have those different passions and be like a multi-hyphenate individual. You don't have to be stuck in just like one thing that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about a few things, but I want to make sure, is there anything about yourself or maybe about pursuing speaking or a lot of stuff in digital marketing that you want the audience to know as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think the main takeaway that I really want to share is that really focusing on relationships, to touch on that again, is super important. Again, with the communication, and figure out how to talk about your work in a way that other people outside of your world can understand. You want to be able to do that. Your network, the relationships that you are building in your career, are going to be more valuable than anything. So don't discount that. That's coming from somebody who kind of did discount that, to be honest, in my 9-to-5 roles, because I always knew like I didn't necessarily want to end up there for too long in my 9-to-5 roles. However, if I could have been more strategic about still nurturing those relationships, even though I knew that I wasn't going to be there a long time, then I would be better off. Really make the effort to talk to people, to go out to events and network. Even if the idea of networking is cringy to you, just do it anyway. Really, really focus on connecting with people who are both like at your level, above your level, under your level in terms of like years of experience. So you want to network all across the board and build these relationships. Don't discount anybody's experience. Learn how to talk to the senior level people. Learn how to talk to people in other industries. Learn how to talk to, learn how to talk to some CEOs. It's not that scary. They're just humans. They're people. Don't be scared to like reach out and say something to a VP. You have to say the right thing because you can't waste their time. So make sure it's valuable. But yeah, that's the main thing I want to leave people with.
Yeah, relationships are so key. And that's a really good point to make, that CEOs are people too. They bleed just like everyone else. They cry just like everyone else. They have feelings. And I think that's a really good point that you got across. I think sometimes we elevate people or position to a level that is like no longer human. With CEOs, I feel like that happens a lot with celebrities or athletes. We think like, oh, these people are like pretty much like gods. Right. So like they're not human.
Untouchable. They're in another atmosphere. Yeah. No, they're just another person, just like you and me.
Yep. I think we all need that reminder, because I feel like I hear it when they talk on different shows or podcasts, that people who just talk to them, that they just want that. Mm. They don't always want to be in the limelight. Right. Like they want to just be able to have conversations with people without people like being starstruck.
Yeah, they're like, don't put me on a pedestal, bro. I just want to talk to you like a normal person. Like just, right. Just be normal, yeah. Be yourself, because I might be LeBron, but I'm still a person,
Yes. Yes. So that's really good. It's been really great having you on the show. Just the insights you shared are incredible. I want to make sure people know how to stay connected with you, whether it's website or socials, all the different ways.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Paul. I really love what you're doing, and I think it's incredible how you are influencing leadership skills in the STEM community. So again, I appreciate you having me, and definitely get in touch. So I am on LinkedIn at Kristen Noel. My website is kndigital.marketing. And I'm on Instagram as well at kndigitalmarketing. That's my business IG. And my personal IG is at getchrist, GetKrissed. But definitely give me a holler if anything that I said resonates with you. If you are somebody who is interested in one day being a speaker or showcasing your content online, and you want to figure out, well, how can I start putting my personal brand out there and putting my experience out there? Again, you don't have to wait until you're like ready to, be a whole influencer or anything. You can just start with where you are now in your career. You can start sharing, little stories about your work experience. And if you would like any tips or to brainstorm ideas, definitely find me on LinkedIn or come to my website and send me an email, but I would love to help. And I would also love anytime to talk about what does it look like to book a speaking engagement, or what does it look like to consult for a company? So if you have any questions about either of those things, feel free to hit me up.
That's incredible. So I love your story, love the experiences you're able to share, and just being real about just how you weren't even sure how to navigate things when you came in back, just get ready to integrate it back into the States. Because I think it's something that's not always talked about. Like we glorify different things, whether it's being a digital nomad or being your own boss, but then you can go do that and then you come back. And then I don't think a lot of people talk about how it is to just get back to the swing of things and just adjusting to different cultures. I think it's really important you highlighted that.
And even if you can't necessarily relate to like moving abroad and moving back in, still, I think the common thread is that I didn't know what my career path was going to be. I didn't know how to tell my story in a way. So many people don't know how to tell their story, and I struggle with that a lot. And, you know, you look at my content now on LinkedIn, for example, and I'm showing up consistently, but that wasn't always the case. I couldn't necessarily always figure out my messaging, who I was talking to, how I was talking to them. What jobs am I going to go after? How do I talk to these hiring managers? So all that to say is like, you might see where somebody is now and think that they are articulate and think that they, you know, have it all figured out, but it doesn't always start that way. There's always a starting point. I was the introverted person who was scared to go talk to people and who was scared to kind of leave my bubble. Even when I did decide to move to Thailand, I was just like, just in my own zone for like 3 months. I only had one friend for 3 months out there I started talking to people. So everybody has a starting point. And if you commit to figuring it out, then you will figure it out.
Yeah, that's really good. Just to realize where you're at and then work on actually figuring it out. So that's incredible. Thanks for your time. And definitely for all of you listening, I know you got something from Krista's story. It is an incredible story to just keep pushing, figuring out what you want, and realizing that you don't have to have it all figured out. Ask different questions, reach out to mentors, reach out to people around you. Keep doing that, and you can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible. Incredible. Incredible.
Have you enjoyed listening to the Incredipaw Leadership Podcast? Are you looking for a way to support it? Maybe you just want some swag. Get some Incredipaw merch today. We have shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, hats, and so much more. Go to incredipaw.org/merch. incredipaul.org/merch. Looking forward to seeing your Incredipaw look.